Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
From the Headstuff Podcast Network, welcome to Mother Folklore, a podcast about words, Irish, Irish words, and words from Ireland. I am Tara O'Shea.
I'm Geraldine McAvoy.
And I'm Padraig O'Connor.
And you're all very welcome to our episode today. Yeah, you thought we'd given up on Loganamnacha, but we haven't. We're back.
And not just because of how Derek struggles to say Loganamnacha.
Not just because of that. We start revisiting the idea because it was once said that the Irish weren't very good at building towns, that they liked to kind of live in a pastoral way, and that the towns were all built by invading forces, be they Vikings, be they Normans, be they aliens, or be they the English.
Wait, who built the aliens? Or what did the aliens build?
The pyramids.
The aliens built Tara and Newgrange.
Oh, did they? They're
not
a busy bunch of lads.
What towns did the aliens build? Obviously, it's indisputable that the ancient Celtic, pagan, Gaelic, Druidic aliens built Tara. That's obvious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what towns did the aliens build?
Island Town. That's the weirdest looking place in the world. You can tell it was just superimposed there. Adamstown has to be.
Adamstown.
Yeah.
Adamstown. I get really annoyed at Adamstown because it's right where I live. Like, it's in my area. Mm. And if you approach Adamstown from the four different directions, I think they have three different place names, three different Loganamnacha Oscailge.
Oh, yes. On it.
Like, on the one way in, it's Balla Adav, which would be a direct translation of Adamstown. Adav was Adam in the Bible. Then another way in, it's Balla Adam, which would be the correct one. It's the genitive case of Adam, and it's the historical Loganamnacha comes from a name, an English surname, Adam. Same root as Mac Adam, which would be Mac Adam, but it's named after this particular individual, Adam. Yeah. So Balla Adam would be fine. And then if you approach from a different direction, it says My Arnie, which is Adamstown, County Wexford, which is it's just a typo.
Come on.
It's just
come
a mistake.
On. Like, scandals.
Shocking business.
They get it right on the train. They get the Balla Adam on the train from Port Leash to Houston.
I think they've addressed it, and at least the Balla Adam one, or the Balla Adam one has been changed and updated last time the NTA did the road signs out this way. But yeah, it was very confusing and annoying for a while. Adamstown is it's kind of weird seeing a purpose-built town spring up and develop around you. Like, you kind of feel like, do I feel like the Gaelic Irish would have felt like looking at Port Arlington being built, you know, or Dangan or any of the plantation towns, looking at these towns springing up, looking on.
Was it weird?
Me, a savage outside.
Like, oh, so Adamstown
they have a Londis. Oh.
A mixture of revulsion and desire.
What, Londis or Adamstown?
Both.
the idea of the plan community was a very big thing in England, English history, but there was, you had the Welwyn Garden City and things like this, and then later on you had Milton Keynes.
Milton
and
some Keynes, the home of the roundabout.
And some people say that...
roundabouts originated?
No, it's just so full of them. There's just so many of them in Milton Keynes.
Have I already talked about roundabouts in Portlaoise? Have I already talked about this?
I thought we were not going to not talk about roundabouts again.
Oh, yeah, sorry, we're not going to get set down. Back to Adamstown.
After Derek had to confront his rage issues.
Adamstown is, for some reason, or was, at least in 2010, on the Leaving Cert higher level geography syllabus. Uh-huh. And I don't remember why. I just remember it being in my geography book. I think it might have been about purpose-built towns.
Yeah.
The planning?
Yeah, we did. You have to look at an aerial photograph and a map and identify... Yeah,
ordnance survey maps.
Identify certain businesses and certain types of buildings, identify land for recreational. And the reason Adamstown would be chosen is it's really easy to identify it from an aerial photograph because they have put the recreational stuff here, the residential is here,
well organized.
The commercial is there, the transport is there. It's because it was planned.
Yeah.
Whereas Adamstown wasn't a thing when I was doing my Leaving Cert and we had to do Carlow.
Here's the big old weird haunted pennies. Then there's Dinree. Then there's a river in the middle. Halfway through, you're actually in Leash. It's wonderful.
And the haunted sugar mill.
Yeah.
The haunted sugar mill? The haunted cinema? Is that the place in Carlow?
There's a haunted cinema. Carlow itself as a town is just haunted by the ghost of the domestic sugar industry. God. And Carlow was such an industrial town. But it's been absolutely decimated and devastated by the collapse of the Irish, the deliberate planned collapse of the Irish sugar industry. And then big business, big heavy industry moving out of Ireland.
Well, when I was growing up, that's funny you say that, because when I was growing up, Carlow was the nearest McDonald's to me. And Carlow's also had a Claire's accessory, which was very big in the mid 2000s for teens and tweens. So that was the nearest place to me, which is 40 minutes away. It was the nearest place to me that you could get a McDonald's. So once a year. They also had a bowling alley as well. It was very cosmopolitan for me anyway. Compared to Portlaoise, which got a McDonald's in the last probably 6 years.
We got a McDonald's in Clondalkin when I was a kid. I was maybe, I don't know when we got the, I was maybe 10 or 11, I think, when the McDonald's came into Clondalkin. And then we worked it out at one stage. My friend Liam worked out that he could successfully live his life on a completely straight line on the Ordnance Survey map. Because from my house to his house, to the school we went to the pool hall, to the McDonald's, to our friend Dara's house, was
living
a straight
big.
Line.
Straight living line. Big. Oh,
no
yeah.
No need to deviate from the straight line to live your... Everything a successful 17-year-old wants.
Wasn't it Harry Truman who didn't like turning left on the road because he hated communism so much?
It's Derek Zoolander, no?
That's Derek Zoolander, yeah.
I don't know what
not
you're
an
talking
ambi about. Turner. I don't know why my Derek Zoolander impression is my Donald Trump impression, but it...
It is!
Yeah, okay. But anyway.
Turn left or right.
I hate it.
Towns. Towns,
so, yeah,
eh?
Towns. Yeah. Planned towns. So, significantly... when it comes to Luganamnach, a town, as we know, is Baile, and has the same root as Awalia, or Sawalia, meaning home, at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have a lot more Balti in Ireland than we have towns. There are places called Baile such and such that would be categorised easily as a village at most, and some of them they're just little Luganamnacha. For example, thinking of Dublin, Baile na Mucht, Ballybock. It's not a town in and of its own right, never has been a town in and of its own right, but it's where the poor has lived.
It's in the name there, you know. You know where they are.
So you can avoid it successfully if you're a Georgian aristocratic gentleman about town. You don't need to go anywhere near Baile na Mucht.
In those days, didn't the fancy folk live on the north side of the city initially, and then there was a southward migration when the Lord Lieutenant that guy,
Yank.
He hoofed it over to the other side.
There was a migration. The original buildings of the wealthy in Dublin would have been up around like North Great George's Street, Hill Street, over to Henrietta Street. And you still see them. There's some fantastically preserved buildings on Henrietta Street at the back of King's Inns.
Yeah, there is. They're lovely.
They're absolutely stunning. And then, yeah, there was a southward migration. They all became, by and large, they became slums. All of a sudden, these seven-bedroom Georgian houses became basically seven apartment sublets to massive families who lived in abject poverty. And the hoity-toity, the great and the good would have moved to the likes of Merrion Square, Fitzwilliam Square and places like that on the south side. And that's where we get this idea that the south side is all right, you know, the south side is posher. Even though there's obviously some very good places of quality on the north side.
There is indeed. Ballybock being one itself. I used to live just around the corner from Ballybock, lovely spot.
I used to live on Killarney Street just next to the Five Lamps.
Do you know the Five Lamps?
Well, I'm afraid I do.
I cannot resist saying that. Whenever someone mentions it, it's just automatic. You have to say, do you know the Five Lamps?
You have to do it, yeah.
It happened at my friend's wedding. He's from around the corner from the Five Lamps. He's from up that neck of the woods and he, the North Strand. And he was at his wedding and his brother was sitting beside him at the wedding and the best man was making his speech and he talked about growing up and he said, winking a nod, he said, do you know the Five Lamps? And the groom's brother had had a little bit of sauce, couldn't help himself and finished the statement, you can hang your bollocks off them. To the shock of everyone present.
The Five Lamps Brewery, their slogan used to be, do you know the Five Lamps?
Lean into it, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Yeah, own it. Girl boss.
Oh, triggered. Please stop.
there's been enough girl boss related content. Anyway, but we're talking Balya.
Yeah, so there are some Balchi that are just basically corners of small villages.
I'm thinking we were mentioning the train lines, Ballybrophy, which is Ballybrohra, which is no more a town. Like it's literally a train station, that's Ballybrophy. And I apologize to people from Ballybrophy, but no one's actually from Ballybrophy. It's just near other places. That's the significance of it. Why is there even a train station there? I'll never know.
It's the Limerick Junction or Manila Junction of
Tipperary Leash.
Of Tipperary Leash, yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten off it once. My mom was in my grandmother's house some 20 minutes away and she picked me up from Ballybrophy and I got off and I was like, this is nothing. This is just a train station in the middle of nowhere. Like there's nothing around. It's just a fucking field. Like you get off in the middle of nowhere.
Like Manila Junction in Mayo, there's absolutely nothing in Manila Junction, but it's just if you were getting a train to Ballina, that's where you get off the Westport line
and then change.
You go north to Ballina.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it's for.
A junction where you can change trains, very fancy.
Yeah, but you know, we end up with a balia like Ballyvroia, Ballybrophy, and it's no more a balia. Would you get
it's
out of that?
It's not a balia. No, it's not.
Balia clear. Now there's a balia.
Town. Which, are you going into town?
Are you going into town?
Yeah,
we always
say
into town.
Because it's a balia.
Yeah, but this it's a city. It's a car.
Yeah, but no one says the city.
No, that's yeah. But I mean, no one says the city. Unless you're from Kilkenny, no one says the city. And like to be fair, lads, you've got it all. Like you've got a cathedral, a royal charity, charter. You've got it all. You've got a cathedral, a royal charter, and you're chock full of English stag parties every weekend.
Yep.
Yeah. What else do you need to be a city? Go for it.
Yeah.
Live at large, Kilkenny.
Lean in.
Lean in, Kilkenny.
But
be a girl boss like Alice Kittler.
So I remember once that a friend of mine was talking about how he was going up to Cork, but he was from Dublin. I was like, you go down to Cork, you go up to Dublin.
Yeah.
You go down everywhere from Dublin, though.
Yeah. Whereas it's not necessarily a complete north-south thing, but there is, and I'm thinking going into the island and how towns of a certain have an implied direction by which they are received.
I'm trying to think about what I would say. I definitely, when I lived in Cork, I would say I'm going up home. That would immediately imply that I wasn't going to the house that I lived in Cork. I was heading away back to Leash. But I think...
Oh, you're going home?
Home, yeah. Which is...
You know, home is like out.
Out, yeah. Are you going out or are you going out? Am I going home or home? Yeah, but if I'm going up home, then I'm going to Leash. But if I'm going... If I'm in Dublin, am I going down home? Away home? I don't know. It's been so long. I haven't been home in a long time. I can't remember what I say.
Down home sounds more country music-ish.
I'm going down home. I'm going away home. I definitely would say that more so.
I was always... It was always home. Home for me. But yeah, it's always up. If you're going somewhere that is, you know, significant to you, you're going up. I'm going up to town. I'm going into town.
I'm going into town.
To Dublin. I'm going into town. I'm going up to Dublin. I'm going down home.
Prepositions, am I right, lads?
Yeah,
but I think Cork people generally say up to Cork, even if they're going down.
I'm going into Cork
on the map.
It's into Cork.
Yeah,
into Cork if you're gonna. But I mean, if you're outside of the county, if you're away. Like, if you're not just away, if you're away, then you'd be going up to Cork, even if you're going south. And listen, let's put it this way. It's not follow me down to Carlow.
Why would you follow anyone to Carlow?
Listen, if Fake McHugh has given the word, you follow him up to Carlow. It's as simple as that. Like, if there's invaders to be killed.
Well, if it's invaders to be killed, all right, yeah, maybe.
Invading Carlow.
Well, one thing about Ballyachlia, Dublin... City,
yes.
Is that obviously Ballyachlia does not mean Dublin, and the name Dublin doesn't come from Ballyachlia. Ballyachlia means the town at the ford of the hurdles, which correctly, I suppose, applies to in and around Island Bridge, which is where the ford of the hurdles was. So we have this strange duality of name where... The name as we know it in English and the name as it's known internationally has an ancient, it has an ancient cognate. Like, it's got a root there there's an Irish name, Dove Lane, and it comes from Difflin, and it means the Black Pool, which was up where, in and around where City Hall is now in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
But you have this weird sort of disconnect between the Irish name and the name that we give the city in English, which has Norse origins, because as you say, our cities were built by and large by others, because we weren't big on urban planning pre-1171.
That's for sure. And it was and in the early days of the Free State, there was an anti-urban strategy in a lot of ways. They didn't want to... certain bishops were worried that having a strong train network... And this is no joke. They worried. They knew the kind of books people bought at train stations, because at a train station, when you're buying a book, you might buy a different kind of book than you get at your local bookshop or at your library, which is supervised by, you know, a duly vetted librarian.
I'm going to have to lie down.
Archbishop McQuaid was especially concerned about the kinds of books that were being purchased at train stations when he visited the United Kingdom or the United States. He heard all about it from his priest friends there. Oh, shocking books in train stations.
Are going to train stations,
they buy dirty books about...
You read a dirty book.
Or Protestantism.
You're finished the book by the way you get to your destination. You stick it in the bin so no one knows you read it.
Yeah, but you're on the train. People see you reading your smut. Or do you cover it in your newspaper over it? Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes. Yeah. You hide it inside a copy of Alive. And nobody's any the wiser.
Oh, is that not the most Irish fucking thing you've ever heard in your whole life, though? No trains now, because they might be reading dirty books.
We can't have a functional train network because people might be reading about boobs.
Just to clarify, so a lot of the train lines around the border were destroyed during the War of Independence and the Civil War. And then when the large cost of replacing these lines came to the fore, they thought it would be better just to cut them off than to actually rebuild them. And this was something, because the early state, they effectively put all their money on one route, one thing of the roulette. They said, we're going to put almost nearly half of the national budget into electrifying Ireland. And they said, well, so instead of, you know, slowly electrifying Ireland and also rebuilding the rail line, they just said, let's do it all. And this, unfortunately, the train service was neglected. And you really see this now when you look at the old train map of Ireland and the current train map of Ireland.
We should put a content warning at the top of this episode for people from Donegal, actually, that we talk so much about trains. 'Cause God love them. We know that I don't understand your pain because I come from a county that has trains, but I empathize. I sympathize with your pain. I don't empathize with it. Solidarity to the people of Donegal looking for trains.
There's also concerns that that train stations were places where people might meet sex workers.
What is be going on at train stations, lads? The only thing I've ever experienced at train stations is being fucking cold. They're always cold. Houston is freezing. Thurles, freezing. I spent more Sundays waiting at Thurles to change from the Limerick train to the Cork train, and it's so cold. And I remember one time at the Thurles train, I was getting off, and there was these French foreign exchange students who were like, we have to change to platform 3. How far does it take to get? I was like, you get off the train and you'll see platform 3. Like,
turn around.
You gravely overestimate how small this train station is. It is literally two tracks and a bridge to get to the other one.
Excuse me, are we in the main train station of Thurles? Or do we need to go across the city to turn around?
Well, you get off the train and you look up and you'll see a number 3.
Yeah.
And that's where platform 3 is.
Get off the train and get on the other train.
You compare it to, you know, being over in Liverpool Station or something over in London Town, and it's where it's incredibly stressful to change trains several times in a relatively short journey.
Yeah, I always wonder that how Irish people manage when they move to London, because there's a lot, you know, there's so much public transport and so much like hopping on and off the different public transports. I have great admiration for them. It must take off. I know there's apps and stuff for it now, but
yeah, but there's also the fact that, like, say if you got to get off the Jubilee line and change to the Circle line, and you're running, you can't find your platform and you're late, and it's like, oh no, oh shit, I've missed my train. Oh, what am? Oh, there's another one. Grant.
Yeah, fair. Like, whereas if you miss the train in Thurles, you're there for 4 hours.
Good night, like, good night.
And it's Thurles. There's nothing to do.
You may as well head into Hayes' Hotel and found the GAA or something like that while you're waiting like this.
Get a nice Carvery dinner in there, though.
Yeah, and you can usually get
at least some. It's Thurles, like. At least you weren't stuck at Limerick Junction.
There is nothing in Limerick Junction.
I can imagine. It's the worst.
Limerick Junction
is it Mallow? You change it Mallow to go to Clarny, don't you? You get off the Cork line and change it Mallow to go to Clarny. Like, Mallow's a nice town, but the train station is just... It's like it's built on this rocky promontory. Like, I've never felt wind like I felt in Mallow.
Yeah, they just build them in these places that they're like, yes, where is 10 degrees colder than the rest of this town or village? We'll build the train station there.
But see, they decided to drop the temperature in all the train stations so people wouldn't be hanging around them too long, you know, reading dirty books.
Employing the services of sex workers. That's why they're so bleak and sad.
When the wind is chilling you to your spine in Mallow, you're not in the mood to employ a sex worker. It's as simple as that.
Have you be cold? No. Take a coat off you if you have one. Jesus.
But anyway, place names. Dublin is like many of our Norse place names. There's an antecedent. There's an earlier or a contemporaneous Gaelic place name that has survived in the Irish. And like Waterford, Port Lauriga, those two are not equivalent in any way. Mm. Waterford comes from, and I'm hopeful I won't butcher this one now, but it comes from Vetrafjörður, which would be the fjord of the ram, or the fjord of the sheep. There's an English word for a sheep called a wether, and it comes from that Norse word, that old Norse word Vetra. So Vetrafjörður is the ram. The ford of the ram, whereas in Irish, Port Lauriga, the fort of a chieftain called Lauriga. So we have these two growing up, and it's the same in Wexford, Lough Garman, which would be the lake of the local, I think it's Saint Garmon. It's Vaisafjörður, or the Muddy Fjord in Norse, and Wicklow, Kilvanton, the Church of Saint Manton. Compared to Wicklow, which comes from Vikingalag, which I love this, which is like the low shelter or the low place of the Vikings.
Lovely.
Which is really, really cool. And Arklow as well, where you see that low, it comes from log, or a low place, a sheltered place. So Arklow is on Tinvermore, the big estuary, But in Old Norse, it's Arkelslag, which is the low sheltered place of a person called Arkel. I think that's class. And my favourite one of the lot is, like, have you guys ever been to, have you ever been out to, like, in and around Cove down in Cork?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Spike?
I've seen Spike,
but I haven't been on Spike. I haven't done anything bold enough.
Yeah, next to Spike is another island, which is the home of the Irish Navy. The Irish Naval College is there.
Yes.
Hall Boland.
It is, yeah.
And Hall Boland is one hell of a name. And you might think to yourself, like, where do we get that? Because in Irish, it's Inishunuk, the island of the fox.
Yeah. Oh, that's but a Hall cool Bolin, name.
Yeah, it's very cool. But Hall Boland comes from the Old Norse All Bowling, which is the dwelling place of eels.
Ah, fab.
So there used to be a lot of snaky old fish down there at
Snakes
Hall
and
Boland.
Foxes, huh?
Eels are gas. Gas characters. There's so much we don't know about them, even after studying them for many years. Eels are wild lads altogether.
Okay.
All right.
We still don't know how they reproduce.
Just Googling now, how do eels...
What should not find something?
How do eels reproduce? Oh, it's the number one thing. I think we know how it's done there. The females release their eggs, the males fertilize them, and the adults die after spawning.
Derek, what shite are you talking?
what website is this? That sounds like nonsense.
It's fucking Wikipedia.
No, actually, this is from the government of New Zealand.
Oh, they don't even have eels down there. Listen.
Aotearoa has many eels.
Why do they have a whole website, like, or a web page dedicated to eel reproduction? I want to know this.
Why is the SEO so good that it's the number one result on Google for how do eels reproduce?
Why does Derek think that they're a false flag? Like, what's happening here?
Jacinta Ardern and the globalist lizard people
are trying
to convince eel people. That's what they are.
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry. Go ahead, Darren.
Well, no, look, you can have your Kiwi website. I mean, you know, and I'm sure whoever wrote it has maybe had a few too many glasses of refreshing Sauvignon Blanc, because I was listening to an eel expert recently on one of our friend podcasts, The Europeans, where Dominic and Katie were talking to an eel expert who'd studied eels and said there's still an awful lot we don't know about them.
Derek is an eel truther. That's what's happening here today.
We don't know how they travel these huge differences. And while we speculate about the reproductive practices, no one's ever actually seen them at it.
Well, the New Zealanders, they're...
eels, fuck.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen, Derek. Do you think you need to see everybody go at it to know how their babies are made? Like,
well, animal scientists or zoologists even are mad into watching animals do it, and they get really annoyed when it doesn't happen. And that's why they're very furious with the eels.
What is
furious
this
and furious?
What has become of us?
This is What Would You Do If, the podcast to answer all of your What Would You Do If questions.
It's Callum and Jess here, and every week we look at how we'd handle different situations
before finding out what you should do if you're in them. So far we've looked at...
What would you do if you saw someone stealing?
A bear attacked you.
The baby started choking.
You were stuck in a lift.
You can hear those episodes and loads more on headstuffpodcast.com with a new one every Monday.
So another place name that I really like.
Go on.
Okay, so there's a place down in Corcaquina called Ard na Caithne, which Ard na Caithne is the height of the strawberry tree. On the English, now it's a Gaeltacht area, so, you know, in theory anyway, at least, the English place names are invalid and do not apply. Yeah. But you'll still see the old signposts that say Smerwick Harbour and Smerwick for Ard na Caithne. And Smerwick comes from Smurvik, which is the Bay of Butter or Butter Bay.
Oh.
Which is really nice.
That's
then
cute.
There's up in the north, up in the six counties, there's Strangford Loch, which in Irish is Loch Cuan, which I think is a lovely name because it's nice. Basically Lake Bay or Bay Lake, which is just double name it, like, just
chai tea, why not? Nanbread,
ECD, you know?
That lake isn't really a lake, it's a bay. So grand, okay. Bay Lake, that's what we call it. Look cool. But, of course, it comes from, the English name is Strangford, and it comes from Strangerfjörður, which is the narrow fjord, which I really, really like.
Just yeah, very, that's nice.
That is nice.
Then there's Lambay Island off the coast of Dublin, Lambay, which in Irish is Rachran. And Rachran is kind of it's a very old Gaelic name. It's also the Gaelic, the original Gaelic name for what we call in English Rathlin Island off the north coast of Antrim.
I know. Well, it's you can see it from where my wife grew up. It's Puffin stunning.
It's Puffin's absolutely stunning.
There's one pub.
Yeah. But they're both called Rachran. And Rathlin is an attempt at pronouncing Rachran, and it means sort of rocky outcrop off the coast. But Lambay is an Old Norse name, Lamb-ai, meaning the island of the lambs. Ah. Island of the lambs, not the silence of the lambs. Yeah, I love it. And oh yeah, look, this is Ireland's Eye. Ireland's Eye is another one. In Irish, that's Inis MacNason. Which means the island of MacNason. And that is from the Old Norse Irlandsoy, which just means Ireland's island.
Oh, yeah. Nothing special there, really. Yeah.
So it's like, that's Ireland. That's Ireland's island.
That's what they named when they just arrived. They were like, that's the island they have. They didn't do a full tour of it yet. And they were like, fuck, there's more than one. Shit. Well, listen, we've named it now. So
yeah, they had not yet done a full audit of the island properties of Ireland. Oh, and of course, speaking of islands, you guys ever heard of Fastnet?
Nope.
Yeah, Fastnet.
Yeah, so Fastnet kind of like it marks the edge of Irish territorial waters, more or less, especially as regards to yachting and the likes. Like if you do the Round Ireland race, you have to go around Fastnet, and it's quite a distance off the coast of Ireland. Fastnet is what is it? It's the most. It's how far off the Jesus thing?
The Jesus thing being the coast of Ireland.
The coast of Ireland, yeah. It's 6.5 kilometers off the southwest coast of Cape Clear Island. So like the current lighthouse that's on Fastnet Rock is the tallest in Ireland. But Fastnet itself, it's known as Ireland's Teardrop. That's it. It's known as Ireland's Teardrop because it was the last bit of Ireland that emigrants saw as they sailed out of Cove
to North America. Sad.
Yeah.
That's
and
sad.
The shipping forecast on BBC Radio covers an area called Fastnet. So if you listen to the shipping forecast, which apparently a lot of people do because it helps them sleep.
I get that. Shipping forecasts are a bizarre cultural phenomenon. Yeah. If you're not a fisherman or somebody who relies on those things, which I'm sure it's necessary. But yeah,
it's incredibly important, but just to other people, not me.
Like what are they talking about? I don't know what these words mean, but they're saying them so melodically. Is that ASMR? Totally. Do I enjoy ASMR?
My creep. That must be it. Is the
it shipping, sounds like it.
It's the shipping forecast ASMR perv. So in Irish, that's Carrig Éanar. The lonely rock. The original name was or the Norse name rather, because God knows when Carrig Éanar came around. It's a Hvasstun Eye, meaning the sharp tooth island, because it looks like a sharp tooth jutting out of the Atlantic. There's loads of these. Obviously, everyone has heard of I hope everyone has heard of Howth.
Yeah.
Bin Aither, yeah. So Bin Aither in Irish, which is, you know, the peak of Aither, a person's name. But where do you get a name like Howth from?
Yeah.
It comes from Hufd, which is the Old Norse word for head, as in headland or promontory.
Yeah.
Because it is, like, it's Howth Head, which is essentially head.
And people do sometimes, visitors to this island flip out about how Howth is pronounced and why isn't it Howth? Or yeah, people ask for directions to Howth and be like, can't help you, buddy. Oh, Howth. But that's nothing to do with Irish kind of phonology at all. It's Howth. It's Norse.
It's Norse, yeah.
Which I don't know. I'm shacked up with a Norseman and I brought him to Howth one time and he called it Howth.
Yeah, but he probably thinks it's English. as opposed to Old Norse.
I know he thought it was very cold. There was a storm that day and it was like a mild storm. But like for him, he was like, your car is shaking. And I was like, yeah, it's a small car. And he was like, this seems dangerous.
You know, Hoth doesn't rhyme with Nouth and Douth. But that's probably because English is a stupid language.
It is that.
Cough doesn't rhyme with tough or though. So, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's not a stupid language.
It's not taught well. Yeah. It's all about Shakespeare.
One of the cool things on the logallam.ie website is it gives you a geographic distribution of certain recurring name terms in place names. And Balia is quite interesting.
Yeah, I'd be willing to stake that that's probably the most common, if not one of the most common.
It's very common, except more common in some areas than others.
Really?
More common in some areas than others. The Balias fall off at the further west you go. And the north as well, as a matter of fact. There's still a good sprinkling of them.
Because you couldn't move for the amount of Balias around where I grew up. Ballyroan, Stradbally, you know, there's loads of Ballybrophy nearby. You couldn't move for all the Ballys.
Ballygobard.
Ballygobard, exactly, yeah.
Ballygobackwards.
Bally, what was the name of the, wasn't there a Bally something in those Commitments films? Books. No, the Commitments films. Wasn't there Bally something?
No, it was Barrytown.
Barrytown
is different because Roddy Doyle, being a huge music head who was a teenager in the 70s or so, was big into Steely Dan, and there is a song called Barrytown on one of Steely Dan's albums.
Good. I haven't seen the Commitments.
It's Kilbarrick. He's talking about Kilbarrick. The whole thing is Kilbarrick.
It's Thinly Veiled. It's like similarly, Carrickstown is also based in Kilbarrick, am I right?
I don't know. Carrickstown is out the back of the RTE car park.
Yep. if you accidentally take a wrong turn going into the radio studio, you will find yourself on a makeshift street and you're like, oh, fuck, this isn't it anyway.
Mad stuff. It's interesting in that I hadn't planned on talking about soap operas. But as it happened, we got some feedback in a recent episode on baby names, and someone told us about a phenomenon in Brazil. They said, which was that they reckon soap operas might have been indirectly responsible for a drop in the birth rate that Brazil experienced from 1960 onwards, a similar drop in family size to China, although without the state led kind of family planning and encouragement of contraception of the methods, but that they attributed this to the popularity of soap operas which presented small family sizes, female protagonists in their 30s and 40s without children and so forth, normalizing these things. And in order to justify it, that this wasn't attributable to other factors, they looked at the popularity of names from those soap opera characters as well.
I think calling telenovelas soap operas kind of underplays the cultural importance of them in particular in Latin America. And like the telenovela is still so incredibly popular in Mexico and in among Spanish speaking residents of the contiguous 48 states of the US. Telenovela is absolutely, like, to even put it in the same breath as Fair City or Coronation Street is just...
Maybe you might be, like, you're at a stretch, maybe Home and Away in terms of how fucking ridiculously dramatic things are. But, like, even that is just a step down. It's not the same thing. But if you're at the spectrum of soap opera, Home and Away is at the top of, like, there are three hurricanes, two kidnappings, a cult, and a plane crash in one season. And then there's telenovela, which is a whole cultural institution in itself. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. There's an American and a British and Australian and traditions of soap opera, which are all quite different from each other. And then there's telenovelas, and they're quite different, and which I'd be reluctant to speculate on because it's not something I know a lot about. And I've been bitten on the ass about asserting shit and moving on before. But yes, I suppose I'm merely saying that this dovetails nicely to what we were talking about. We did mention Carrickstown, which is where the Irish soap opera Fair City is set. If you live in another country where Fair City is broadcast, please let us know, because I'm always interested in that kind of thing.
Would it be broadcast?
Is it picked up by other Is it taken on by other networks?
I know they get like bizarre, like they have Holby City and Heartbeat here, and they had a few, they had obviously Normal People and Dublin Murders, but like I don't think they have Fair City. I would be beside myself if they had Fair City.
There are certain Irish programs which are, if you are like, say, the Next Top Model franchise, you might see, you might like America's Next Top Model. Then if you flick around, there's certain channels that will show you Canada or Germany's Next Top Model as well. Apparently the German one's Gas, if you can follow it. But I know there's certain, some of those TV3 crime programs were broadcast under a different name on certain British channels.
I seem
to remember that Fair City was shown in South Africa.
It's not anymore anyway, if it ever was. Like, it's available to a global audience through the RTE Player International. And like, God help you, because like, just watch Russ Naroon, because the TG Car Player is a work of art. Can you imagine if you were relying
on the RTE Player for anything? Like, let me tell you.
Garaging, don't hate the player.
I will hate the player.
Derek making a pitch to be the next DG of RTE there. Don't hate the player, y'all.
It's very well paid. We hate the player.
it's
I'd say that being Director General of RTE would be great crack altogether.
I'd say
it would be great crack. Yeah.
100%. I'd love it if my job was to justify the amount of money Ryan Tuberty gets.
Hey, just think how much money he'd get if he went over to England.
I'd love to see him try. Go for it. Go for Tubbs.
So doesn't he go over every summer to mind?
Not since. Terry Wogan's dead. There's no show to mind anymore.
Graham Norton's show, didn't he mind?
Yeah.
He did not.
Did he?
He did mind it on the summer when he was chillaxing for a bit.
Ryan Tuberty took over for... Am I living in Through the Looking Glass? Ryan Tuberty took over.
Just on summer holidays.
The radio.
Yeah,
of course.
As if. I think you'd have heard now. Because that other guy, Jack Whitehall...
Jack Whitehall took
over the telly show for a bit. But I mean, Graham Norton is, I guess, very good at that kind of show. No one does it better than him. He made it his own. He's done very well for himself.
Well, it's the Graham Norton show.
Yes.
Chat shows
used to be like that.
Yeah, I know.
Chat shows used to be like that at all.
I don't know. I just cringe whenever he goes up to the audience. I just like, don't, no, you're not Jimmy Kimmel. Don't, please, no.
Yeah, but I cringe when Jimmy Kimmel goes up to the audience. I don't want to talk to any of them. Go away from me.
The Late Late Show is a record holder, isn't it? For the longest continuously broadcasting chat show in the world. But it is, it's also weird. Like, it's an anomaly. It's like this weird thing where you can, you know, definitely in previous years anyway, like the Gabo years and the Pat Kenny years and all that, where you could go from on the same show, you'd be interviewing like the victim of some horrific institutional abuse and go, well, listen, thank you so much for sharing your story. You're so brave. Next up, we'll have Daniel O'Donnell with his new song.
I have a theory about this. I have a theory as to why the Late Late Show is like that, which is different from, say, the Johnny Carson show, which was the previous record holder, which was basically just flat entertainment and a very magazine-driven where guests would be coming on to sell something. The Late Late Show is the way it is because of mass. Because people go to mass, they listen to some guy talking, there's parish notices which are read out. Maybe the priest might make a little speech during the sermon, and then afterwards people might go and confess some horrible crimes in confession, things like that. But the idea of just going there and having all these things happening in one particular hour or one particular sesh is based on mass and the Irish experience of mass.
Confessions aren't after mass, are they? I thought they were at a different time. Go on a Saturday for confession.
If you get something really big to confess.
You can't do the confession after. You have to do the confession before the communion.
Yeah, you're not allowed to have the Eucharist.
Before or after. Either way, the same building, the same host.
I've never had Nathan Carter at my Mass. That's for sure. And let me tell you.
Do you not have a youth folk Mass in
No? Listen, okay, I have a weird backstory which involves being very religious for quite some time.
Yeah,
I was with Lourdes and we were very fucking into youth masses. But we never had Nathan Carter. Is he a youth mass?
Was there a fella in the
Nathan Carter type?
Was there a fella in the folk band who was kind of like the parish stud? Yes.
With that show Moon Boy that had that guy who led the parish choir and he had the keyboard. Like, yeah, yeah, that's Nathan Carter.
There was a rock mass in Neilstown.
As in rock and roll music?
As in rock and roll music,
but
yeah.
But Christian rock?
Like, they would stretch the bounds of... I think there was, like, a fairly cool priest who was kind of like, I just want to encourage these young people to get involved. So if they want to play The Rivers of Babylon by Boney M, fine. That's tangentially related to the
Bible. But not like a Batter to Hell.
Batter to Hell would be a bit too much, no.
Oh, tangentially related to the Bible? Sure.
In essence, sure. Maybe. A bit Old Testament-y, but yeah, absolutely. but yeah, there was, oh man, like Rivers of Babylon, Shiny Happy People, which, you know, if you read the lyrics, is not very shiny or very happy, but it's a very bouncy song and it's lovely. Yeah. No, it was pretty good. I thought it was definitely one way of getting people interested in sitting through mass for an hour.
Funny you mentioned Shiny Happy People.
Is it?
Yeah,
Dara's got another theory.
I have a theory that REM are somehow related to mass.
I was watching the Song Exploder episode about losing my religion, and Michael Stipe brought up the fact that they weren't actually planning on making a protest song, but it was taken as a protest song in certain countries, including Ireland, where the video was banned from the telly.
Of course it was, though. He's
still sore about that 30 years later.
But that is not in Ireland, though. Banned. Yeah, I would. Shit,
I would be too. God, yeah. But anyway.
Banning something here was like the best thing that could be done for it.
Yeah.
Because you can still see it on the other channels.
If you can see...
We're on fucking Channel 4.
If you can see one of the very first episodes of Reading in the Years, which is a fantastic show, I've talked about it before, we've talked about it before, it's wonderful, is when Jane Mansfield came to Ireland and the bishop was like, don't go near her, and you can see the throngs of people and she's slinking out of her car being Jane Mansfield, being herself, and there is thousands of people there and they're all like, oh, I wasn't looking, but I was looking, you know, because they said don't go see her, and then they were all like, I have to go see her, it is imperative that I see Jane Mansfield.
Like, there was no internet, right? So yeah. If Jane Mansfield is making public appearances in Ireland, that's going to be printed in the papers probably, right? And that's it. If you didn't happen to get the paper, you don't know where Jane Mansfield is going to be. But one place you are going to be is Mass of a Sunday. And if from the pulpit the priest is saying, Jane Mansfield is going to be in the Tivoli Theatre at 5 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, and you are not allowed to go there, there's people who had no idea Jane Mansfield was going to be there.
And, like, and also,
oh, yeah, huh. What was that, Father? I just want to make sure. What time do I avoid and which theatre do I avoid? Oh, God bless you. Fair play to you, Father.
Just make sure she's not sinning.
And I mean, what's more is, you know, the priest isn't going to be there. Because he said he wasn't going. And if he was there, then you fucking saw him there, and then no one has to talk about it. You all just sort of avoid eye contact because you all saw each other at it.
They did the same with the Beatles. They read the Beatles from the altar. Like, you know, the Beatles are playing the National Stadium and you should not allow your daughter to go. What are you going to talk about when you get back from Mass?
Did
you ever hear the Beatles are playing the stadium and you're not allowed to go? I'm going. I'm going, Mammy. I'm going.
There's a thing I remember that a lot of people would say that their local priest was the strictest or the meanest, and I'd be talking to people from different parts of Dublin. They say our local priest was the first one to condemn Britpop. He's the first one to condemn Oasis. And I was like, well, really? It wasn't their priest. It was another priest in the nearby parish. And no one is ever able to find this priest who condemned Oasis from the pulpit. But what we did know is that one of Aaron's roommates in Queens was from Downpatrick and was in school with Ash. And when they were condemned from the pulpit by none other than Big Ian himself.
Now
absolute.
You can't buy that marketing.
You cannot buy that publicity. Nope. And
that's class.
That's class.
A great constituency worker.
You will not purchase their Star Wars themed album.
Ye will not buy 1977 feature on the hot single Kung Fu.
I think we can all agree that girl from Mars absolutely slaps, but you shall still not purchase it.
You slipped into a little bit of a Martin McGuinness there, I think, Father. You need to work on that one as well.
I do need to work on that, yeah.
But before good. So I think we're going to wrap up because we've covered a lot of very relevant, important things.
We
stuck to a Balia message really hard, as well as we. Is there 10 minutes of relevant content in today's episode at all?
But listen, they're used to listen to us.
I can bring it back though. So there's to go back to play. Leave it in. It's great.
Yeah.
It's class. Like,
they're here for the ride now. If they've been with us for nearly 200 episodes now, they know what to fucking expect.
Listen, here for the ride means something totally different if you're an eel expert.
You can have an episode title now.
Forever. Here for the ride. How do eels reproduce? So you mentioned Docky earlier on. About how wonderful a train journey Docky is. And Docky is, it's a very weird place name, Deliganish. And I know that we've heard from, we've got feedback from a listener around Docky and Deliganish. And Deliganish is this weird combination of Norse and Irish. In that, like, the English name Docky takes the Delig from Delig Inish, the thorny island, but it adds the EY suffix, which is island in Norse. So you end up with sort of a Deligai or Docky. So it's really interesting. But one of the most interesting ones of those, these sort of these little combination names, is Kaiser's Lane. There's a Kaiser's Lane in Drogheda. There's one in Dublin. There's one in Waterford. There's one in Wexford. There's one in Cork. Any of these Norse towns or cities. So in Irish, they tend to be known as Cúlan Chéasar or Ré Chéasar. And Chéasar is the Irish for Caesar or Kaiser, emperor. Mm. But what people think is it may come from is the Old Norse Kesa, meaning a bend or a twist in the road. And they all tend to be sort of windy, narrow little paths. Like the best known example is probably Kaiser's Lane in Wexford is entered via an archway, and it's entirely walled and roofed, and it's quite twisty. The Kaiser's Lane in Dublin was in the Liberties. It used to connect Cook Street to Newgate Street. It's been, the whole area has been levelled and it's now Corn Market. But it was, in the 19th century, it was nicknamed Kissar's Lane because the stones used to get very slippery and pedestrians would often fall on their bottoms. But yeah, I love it. It's just this little, it's just this gorgeous little remnant of the fact that Ireland is made up of so much more than just Irish place names and English place names, that we have all these little throwaways hidden here and there, half of Docky, all the Kaiser's Lanes around the country, Wicklow, Arklow, Wexford, Waterford, and of course, Dublin, Dufflin, Ballyoclea.
That was good bringing it back there. Well done.
Yeah,
well done.
How about that?
Excellent. And I think we might leave it there for today. But if you have a place name that you want us to look into or talk about, or tell us more about it yourselves, send us a voice note, and the WhatsApp number is in our show notes.
Also, if you have any information pertaining to the reproductive practices of eels, Derek would be very interested in hearing that. As we said, he is funded by Big Eel, so please support him in his endeavour to uncover the truths about eels. It's a very lonely journey he's on.
And if you live in New Zealand, You want to tell us why Aotearoa thinks they know so much about eels and the rest of us don't?
What are they hiding? What are they covering up?
Yeah, something going on there.
Does Big Eel have its claws in Jacinda Ardern?
She's a plant.
Or an amphibian. Or a fish. A fish. Eels are fish.
Are they?
They are.
They're gross, are they? Is what they are.
What's an eel? Is an eel an amphibian?
They're yik.
No, it's a fish. A ray-finned fish. Belonging to the order Anguilliformes. There we go. I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah.
And they always get louder right before they make a kill.
What?
That's from The Princess Bride, you big eejit.
Oh, eels? Oh, that's
yeah, remember the eels, the giant eels are going to eat your one. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us on our journey today. You start at Balia and you end up, God knows where, you end up in Onalar. That's where you end up. And are they the same? Are they different? We'll never know.
They're
They're the same.
Give me strength. All I'm saying is, right, if you live where I live, which is as big as some cities, it's a village, right? I live in a village that is as big as some cities. If I want to go into the nearest city, I'm going into town. And I get on a bus that says city centre on Lore. I mean, it's fairly straightforward.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah.
I think so. Okay. So, until the next time, it's a slán from me.
A slán from me.
Like a slán wamsha.
Do, 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 do.
No, can we do the Late Late Show one?
Do,
do,
do.
Should we do outros?
Yeah, Motherfuck Lore comes out every Friday in the Headstuff Podcast Network. If you can't wait that long for your next podcast fix, there's a number of other fine shows on the podcast network, such as Words That Affect, The Wonderful World of Wikipedia, Pints of Malt, and many more. If you wish to contact the show, you can send us a voice note on the WhatsApp number in our show notes.
Thanks, as always, to Brian for producing and to Kirsten Scheel for the amazing artwork.
And if you would like to support our show via our Patreon, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/Derek, and you can see all the various tiers there and support for extra content. And thank you all to all of our generous patrons who support us already. Thank you.
Until the next time, mind yourselves. Excellent.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
So we've lost all of that talk about where the best filling station in Ireland is. That's a scandal.
We might be able to retrieve some of that.